Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Bellstar.
And the Cannabis Kid. Our show features news, interviews, and all the latest information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona, and the world at large.
We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call live at 646-915-8421. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on all social media, or email thctucson@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio Theme, along with our many sponsors, for hosting our show every week. With the lowest price certifications in town, you'll find hemp products, accessories, and all things related to medical cannabis education.
Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center at 4826 East Broadway Boulevard or online at tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
Have a good time tonight, or this morning. Well, actually, it's tonight in Israel, where our friend's calling in from. So that's awesome. Let's see here. Almost Christmas time. A month away from me turning 50. Ooh, ooh. And hours away from a 40. Woo!
Hello. We have special guests on the radio show today. Winky.
Okay. Kid is here. Silver Sister is here. Okay, Ryan is here.
Oh, we're just having a good time. Yeah. Someone likes marijuana. I just did a bong hit and someone's licking my face like there's no tomorrow.
All right. October 21st for the bestie. And let's see. There's, he can't get, I closed the doors back there. Here we go. Welcome. All right. Yeah, I got new bells. Aren't they pretty? They have a real, they came on a package, and so I just added them. They're super pretty. All right, welcome to Weed Day. We got bong hits of amnesia going on. We got all sorts of stuff. We have an awesome guest on from Israel today. We'll have him on in just a minute. Yeah, he's so cute. Oh my God, this is going to be a cute show. So welcome to Weed Day Wednesday, October 21st. I can't believe it. We're, 2 months and a couple days away from Christmas. And they're on the news, they're encouraging everyone to find a unique and creative way to send gifts this year. Like there's a unique and creative way to send gifts this year. So they're like, get a gift card. Oh, that's unique. Actually, gift cards are quite cool because you can really just go, yeah, you don't have to ask for the receipt because it's a bad gift or. All right, so we are going to try and have on another. We've got all sorts of guests coming on, but next week we might postpone who we have. I haven't confirmed it yet anyway, and we might have another special guest on. We refer to as Han. Yeah. No, it's been a long time, and he made a great comment about Prop 207. I don't know if I can find it, but he basically called them out on their BS and said, you know, if the government really let us grow marijuana like tomatoes and sell it to each other, this whole, our economy would prosper. And sure, you can have six plants, throw them a bone, but then the minute you're over an ounce in possession, as recreation, they're going to bust you. The minute you're over 2.5 ounces, there's your felony. So come on, guys, wake up. Four dispensaries. So do your due diligence. I learned that from Deadwood. I love that. Yeah. Just like the Y Wing. I hear her. Better put your phones down. Oh, you're going to go cruise everywhere. Anywho, so read the initiative before you vote. You'll find lots of political signs out there. There's actually a lot of no on 207s out there. So read it and figure out why for yourself. We did put some comparisons on the Tumbleweeds Health Center website. So check it out, Tumbleweeds Health Center.
I do know that some people's beliefs and their way of thinking outweighs what's on this proposition. But if you look at it and really kind of see how it all works for you as an individual, it can make it tempting for sure.
Well, yes and no. I mean, it's just selfish. You're just selfish. If you want to smoke weed and you want to do it safely, keep your medical card.
Yep.
And if you want to have an appropriate amount of weed on hand at all times, any amount of concentrate, any amount of milligram, they're going to limit your milligrams to 10 milligrams. And then you get 100 milligram packages, 1 ounce total. So someone like myself, who when it's in excruciating pain for whatever reason needs like 40 or 50 milligrams, that's a half a package already gone. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. They're going to make 24%+ tax that's going to go on this. It's additional 16 to whatever your county is already paying. In Tombstone, you'd be paying 26% tax. I mean, seriously. Like, this is ridiculous. On top, and then they're giving all the licenses for recreational dispensaries to the dispensaries already in existence. Someone of a minority status quote. You can apply for a license at that point. Not a good bill. Anywho, we're going to see if Hans is going to come on next week. And Hans. Yeah, Hans. Yeah. We'll get him on next week to chat about it. 4826 East Broadway Boulevard. Come on down. We've got some funny things in the shop. We've got some really great vapes by this company called Chief Botanicals.
They're very tasty.
And it's just broad spectrum hemp extract because they say there's no THC in this whatsoever. But does the other stuff, because there's one package that says, it's not this one. So this is broad spectrum. So there's zero THC. This is an OG cushion. It tastes good. Did you try it? It was a good one. Where is it? Did we pass it around? Really delicious. We've got cigars coming out, and we've got moonlocks and keef rocks and keef joints. We've got keef joints.
Oh, but made from CBD.
Yeah, uh-huh. CBD and CBG. CBG. Yeah. CBG.
I don't have any information in front of me. What's the CBG again?
CBG is actually it's supposedly a more powerful pain reducer and inflammation reducer. And I think it acts differently on the CB1, CB2 receptor, so it gets in deeper somehow. Something like that. I'm not a scientist. I just like the weed. Puff off for COVID. Okay, I thought I couldn't help it. Sounded good. All right. So let's see here. Why don't we just let's just do this. If you go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, we're just gonna get right to the interview. You can join us this morning with Mr. Aris Patat, is a metaphysicist and author and consciousness researcher. We had him on the show last year or the year before. It's been a little while. Trained as a software engineer, He decided to quit a 20-year high-tech career and a successful job at a Fortune 500 company, people, in order to research how cannabis impacts our conscious perception of reality. We had a good, we had a really good conversation. Yeah, and it was all about time and perception. Yeah,
remember that? Really engaged in the whole thing. It was amazing.
It was, and it's going to be amazing again. I'm getting excited. He's the author of It's About Time, which describes how changes in our perception of time impact our memory, imagination, and thought patterns, and virtually all other conscious phenomena. He currently lives in Israel, where he co-leads the Israel Institute for Science and Consciousness and continues his research. And everybody, please welcome Mr. Aris to the show. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me again. Thank you so much for
really
having
excited.
Me again. It's so good to... Yeah, it was a great conversation last time, and I'm excited to be here again. This time from Israel, 8,000 miles away.
Oh, my gosh. I know. Did you have dinner yet?
I did not. I find that if I eat before interviews, it's hard to think. You know how that is.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Food coma.
Food coma. Right? You're ready for a nap after that.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well,
yeah.
Excellent. So, what strain are you currently partaking in before your radio show?
You know, a couple of weeks ago, I got on the show just to say hi, and I told you that here in Israel, we don't really have names for strains for most people because, you know, it's kind of like the black market here. So we give them names. Mm-hmm. And so the strain that I like nowadays is the Jeweler Number 2. The jeweler is the guy that grows it, and so we give the names based on the people who grows them or, you know, give them around. And it's a really high sativa, and it's nice. Really, really interesting stuff. The black market here is very, you know, it's just people do what they need to do in order to get what they need to get. Obviously not encouraging anybody to break the law, but sometimes the laws are just not just. And, you know, that's just the way it is.
So what do people have to do to get their medicine, to get cannabis out there, black market or not? Is there any legality of cannabis there at all?
It's a great question. Absolutely. But... You know, people in Arizona, people in the United States in general need to know how lucky they are to live in a place like that where they can get cannabis license fairly easily. And you guys are making it so easy and, you know, giving so much information about it. Here in Israel, it's a little harder. They have all kind of weird laws. Like, for example, if you ever experienced anxiety, you can't get a medical license. And I'm talking about like chronic anxiety. Which is interesting because for most people, cannabis eliminates anxiety. But because some strains can cause a panic attack, they just have like this across-the-board definition that if you suffered from chronic anxiety or from anxiety attacks, you can't get a cannabis license. So, you know, things like that, it's just really difficult. And most doctors have a really hard time. Yeah, it's just a lack of knowledge. And it's still considered this bad thing, you know. And so a lot of people are really embarrassed to ask their doctors for a medical license. It's tricky.
Yeah. So if they're not, you know, if they can't get – okay, so what conditions can you get something for?
PTSD is a good example. Yeah, PTSD is a good example. Pain, people who suffer from chronic pain, people who suffer from, some kind of a condition where they, they just need to relax their bodies. Some people who have a hard time sleeping. So various physical conditions. The vast majority of psychological conditions, though, it's really hard to get a license for. And as a consciousness researcher, I find that to be really interesting and sad because I think cannabis can really help with many different psychological conditions, not just PTSD. But it's getting better. It's getting better by, you know, there's maybe there's going to be another election next year. Israel had three elections in the last, you know, year and a half. And I think that the next election, the topic of complete legalization of cannabis is going to be on the table. So hopefully it'll get much better.
How do you think the leaders there will respond to that?
How do I think what? I'm sorry, the line got cut.
How do you think they'll respond to that? If it's put up the question again, I mean.
You know, I think that, interestingly enough, cannabis legalization is one of the only topics out there that is bridging the gap, the growing gap between the left and the right wing polarization that is happening in our society. Because there's just so many people who smoke cannabis, who like cannabis. And so I think that the political side that's going to decide to put it on the ballot is to say, hey, this is something that we're gonna push forward is going to be able to get a lot of the swing votes. So, you know, I think it's just a matter of time. You know, like in the 20s last century where alcohol was banned, and, you know, not even comparing the side effects of alcohol with cannabis, right? I mean, we all know, right. You know, what to choose, you know. But, you know, that's just the way it is. So I really think it could be a deal breaker for election just because of, you know, the huge support they could get.
That's true, and people really look at that these days, you know, especially here in the United States. We started 9 years ago almost, and we couldn't talk about it before. And now people are looking at candidates' opinions and decisions on how they're going to react and or change laws for marijuana, and that's helping to shape their voting. You know, a lot of people won't vote for different sheriffs or, you know, senators or whatever, and especially, you know, with the presidential election coming up, at least our vice presidential hopeful candidate is, she's out for marijuana, Kamala Harris is. So, but yeah, it really does sway people. And rightly so. And I like what you said, it really does bridge people, because nowadays the term Republican, Democrat, Independent, well, that means what it means, but it's hard to put anybody in a box these days because everyone's attitudes and perceptions have changed about what it is that really is, you know?
That's so true. And, you know, put a whole bunch of people in the room from both sides of the political aisle, let them smoke some weed, and I personally think that there's going to be a lot more agreement by the end of the evening rather than, you know, disagreements. It's just, you know, it allows us to understand each other better. Specifically, I'm talking about, you know, THC. It expands our point, the conscious point of view, and allows us to see things from a different perspective. And that's exactly what we need right now, instead of the rhetorics of separation and, you know, divisiveness that is really prominent in our society nowadays.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. We need to calm down and hang out and talk openly in peace, though. That seems to be the problem. We all get so riled up we can't have peaceful conversations, and that's, you know, we need to. Tell us what's going on with your Institute for Science and Consciousness. What's happening over there?
So there's two institutions I'm involved in. There's the institute I'm leading in the United States. That's my institute. It's a research institute, and it focuses on consciousness-altering substances. And it's in Washington State, one of the two states, Colorado and Washington, were the first one to legalize. And that's the institute in which I've done my main research and wrote the book about. But then there's a different organization here in Israel, unrelated to cannabis, just a name, just in case anybody hears, and, you know, not to associate it with this topic necessarily. But it's a big institute. It has over 400 leading consciousness researchers from various facets of academia here in Israel, and I'm co-president of that organization. You know, just helping them run things. And you know, unfortunately, we can't really do a lot of research with cannabis here in Israel other than what's being done in, you know, in the labs to investigate
right.
the molecular structure. And the research I'm doing is research that has to be done with actual usage, because I'm researching consciousness, and you can't experience a shift in consciousness unless you're actually smoking, unless you're actually consuming the active substance. And so, you know, there's things that you just can't learn under the microscope, and that's the kind of research I'm usually focused on.
That's
and so I keep my institute in the United States so I can continue to do research there. And the organization I'm working with here is focused on more theoretical research of consciousness.
Well, talk to us about some of your thoughts about reality and perception and consciousness in relation to when you are using cannabis and are not. How deep can we go into our psyche just using cannabis?
You know, it's really amazing. There's not a lot of times when we stop and think, how do I think? What is the manner with which I use my imagination? What is the manner with which I use my thoughts? We don't often stop and reflect on the manner with which we think or imagine or do any mental activity, because it's the only one that we do. We don't have any comparison. But if we start paying attention, we start noticing various things that happen when we actually consume cannabis. Cannabis is like, you know, I always give the example that a fish in the water does not know it's wet. And, you know, if a fish was born in an aquarium, it thinks that this is its world. But what cannabis does, it allows us to temporarily shift our perception of reality. And if we just pay a little bit of attention, we start noticing things. For example, we all know, I'll give two examples. We all know that we have some form of memory, a change in the ability to remember when we smoke THC, when we ingest THC. Well, what exactly is happening? Why is it that with some strains, you know, we'll get to the kitchen and we'll be standing around and looking around and say, oh, why did I come here for? We have absolutely no idea what we wanted. So we forget something, right? And then sometimes we'll have right. conversations and we forget the topic of conversation. It's just like 2 seconds ago I was speaking about this and suddenly my mind went elsewhere and boom, it's gone. Well, when we pay deeper attention, we notice that there's a pattern, a specific pattern with what we forget and what we remember. And there's a difference between various strains. Some strains will cause us to forget concrete actions, things that we wanted to do, things that has to do with the concrete reality, and some strains will cause us to forget abstract thoughts, things that has to do with reflections, things that has to do with not with concrete things around us, not with the external world, but rather with the internal world. But here's the kick. Strains that cause us to forget concrete stuff are actually increasing our abstract thinking abilities. They're causing us to be more reflective. And strains that are causing us to forget, to lose some of our abstract thinking abilities are causing us to remember more concrete stuff. So it's almost like there's a bipolar spectrum, not surprising, that cannabis is like shifting the needle on. And I'll give one more example that a lot more people can relate to, because this was a little abstract, right? So people who smoke sativa and listen to this probably totally got what I was talking about. People who smoke more indica-based strains totally lost me, because they probably experienced short-term memory loss when it comes to abstract thought. But I'll give a little more concrete example. When we smoke most of the time, and this is with most people, okay? Most people, most of the time, when they smoke sativa-dominant strains, their visual imagery declines, which means they see less images in their mind's eye, in their imagination, than they do regularly or with indica-based strains, which is fascinating. What is happening? Why is it that our, you know, what is going on there? right? And so when we interview people like aphantasiacs, people who are completely blind in their imagination, there are people like that. When we interview them and we interview other people, we start, again, realizing that there's a bipolar spectrum with which we imagine. And imagine the bipolar spectrum being the amount of light with which we're using the imagination. And cannabis is shifting the needle again on the amount of light that is available for us in our imagination. And that's why when we smoke sativa-dominant strains, we start thinking more abstractly, because what is abstract if not naked thought, a thought without form, a thought that cannot see anything? And so things like that are fascinating to me in my research, and it teaches us a lot about the way we think. And these are things that you cannot know when you study the cannabis under the microscope. I don't care how successful of a scientist and a chemist you are, but you will never know by studying, you know, cannabis under the microscope. You'll never know that the first thing that happens when you smoke cannabis is a shift in your perception of time. You will never know that. You will never know that some of your senses, your involuntary senses, become heightened when you smoke sativa-dominant strain, and your voluntary senses become heightened when you're smoking indica-based strains. That's why the taste buds are becoming so sensitive. So on and so forth. Huh. There is a structure and a mechanism to the mind, and cannabis is one of the greatest tools that allows us to really understand it.
So is that why that makes some sense to me? Because I don't like to smoke sativas. They make me feel stupid. It makes me feel like I feel like my face is, my head and my mind's closing. I can't even have a thought. Like I can't read. I can't. Yeah. I like indica.
Interesting. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. You know, again, everybody's different. You can think of the spectrum of human consciousness as sort of like a wave, you know, like a ball. It depends where you are on this ball, like a planet, where you are. And the shifting of the needle is happening compared to where you are. So some people, you know, it's a smaller percentage, but for some people, sativa is causing them the opposite effect of what normally we would see, but there's usually a majority. There's usually standard deviation, it's called. There's usually a standard distribution of what people feel when they consume one or the other. And this is why, you know, you guys are educating people on cannabis. This is why it's so important to try it out. And this is why you can't go to the doctor, especially a doctor who never smoked a joint in their life, and say, hey, what should I get? Prescribe me something. It's something that you need to try for yourself. And everybody would be different, but usually you would notice a significant difference in the way you think, in the way you are able to digest information, to digest logic, based on the two major families of strains, sativa versus indica.
So then
it would be fascinating,
country,
you know, to, yeah. Yeah, please.
Well, go ahead.
It would be fascinating, you know, to next time I'm in the US and when this coronavirus is done, to pop into your studio and to interview you prior to smoking and to ask you all these questions that I do. I interview people to understand how their mind works, and then to have you smoke and see what shifted. And so, you know, next time I'm visiting the U.S. and in your neck of the woods, I'll let you know, and we'll do this experiment, if you want, live on air, and that would be fascinating.
Oh, yeah. That would be fascinating. We'd love that. And, heck, maybe we'd just have to go to Washington. Bummer.
Maybe.
I'm sure it's gorgeous where you are there. Yeah. But come to the desert anytime. So my question for you then is, if you if you can't find, I mean, if you don't know strains, how do you know which one is going for you, indica or sativa, when you go to pick one on the street or wherever you get it or whatever? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, I've done this kind of research for so long. I usually can tell just by smelling or looking at the buds. You know, if they're, you know, nowadays when there's so many strains out there, it's getting harder and harder, and this line between sativa and indica has been blurred over the years, and it's sort of like a wild west what people call sativa and indica, because there's no clear definition. Some growers will call something sativa or indica because of the smell, some because of the strains that it came from, and so on and so forth. But in general, when you know, the buds are a little bit more darker in color and a little more tight, usually, and the smell is more earthy, usually you can assume it's an indica-based strain. And if the buds are slightly lighter in color and, you know, the smell is a little more acidic, then you know it's sativa-dominant strain. And sometimes it's, you know, you try it out and you realize it was the opposite of what you thought. And but in general, I already know. You know, I can just smell it and can tell. We have a very the black market here in Israel works through a chat program called Telegram, and it has encrypted chat. So a lot of people broadcast what they're selling there, and they have like a verification process where they make sure, you know, it's safe to sell you. And you know, because I do research, I don't really get to the point where I have to actually get it like that, because, you know, I'll consult people, I'll go to their homes and check strains with them, and usually they'll give me a bud or say, hey, you know, try this, try that. So I usually have constant supply if I want from just, you know, people around me, which makes me very lucky. But I also smoke a little less, and this brings me to a different topic of conversation that, you know, we've discussed over email. Yeah. I don't know if we were talking about the fact that over the years when I smoked, you know, I was doing this research for so long, I've realized that I've developed this dependency on cannabis. And, you know, after a while, there were these 2 years with you know, I just started realizing that smoking for me, it wasn't a tool and a medicine anymore. It became a habit, and I had a hard time stopping, and that I did not like that. And you know, over time, I realized that I wasn't the only one there. You know, and it's estimated that 1 out of 10 people who smoke cannabis have some kind of, you know, an unhealthy dependency on it. And because I do research with it, I had to develop tools that will allow me to, you know, to sort of like the inner adult, responsible adult within, to say, no, this is not the right time. When is the right time? When is not the right time? Am I smoking because of habit? Am I smoking because of, because it's really the time for it? And so, you know, I had to do that. I had to develop these tools so I won't lose my tool of research, and I won't lose this wonderful medicine. And I've done that successfully. And now I actually teach people, and I have an online course, how it's called Consciously High, on how to smoke cannabis responsibly and how to weed out the habit, you know, and smoke. Use mm-hmm. cannabis as a tool rather as an escape. And so, right. You know, that relates to your other question, because in reality, I smoke a lot less nowadays, you know, and if before I would just smoke because every activity is more fun when you're smoking, now I smoke when I either do research or when, you know, the particular situation calls for it, if I feel super anxious or something like that.
Excellent. How did you learn that? I mean, how did you, you know, talk about thinking about your thoughts? How did you come to realize that it was just more of a habit? And then how did you work to make that not a habit and just a necessity, like you said, or rather than, you know, a habit?
Yeah. So When we smoke THC on a regular basis, and especially if we smoke a lot, and at some point in my research, you know, I was smoking a lot. There's a cumulative effect that is happening. You know, in the consciousness movement, cannabis is called the trickster drug. And the reason it's called this trickster drug is because usually you won't notice the gradual shift that happened in your consciousness because of the short-term memory loss. And so you don't quite remember what was going on before, and you don't really remember how your inner narrative changed. And that's kind of the issue. And, you know, so you'll be smoking and you're feeling like you're smoking too much and your head is kind of cloudy, and then you stop, and, you know, you'll stop for a day or two, and then you're like, oh my God, I so miss smoking and it makes me feel so good. Why did I even stop? And, you know, it was kind of back and forth this way, but because I'm a writer, I realized as I was coming to these periods when I was writing, I realized that I wasn't able to hold my tree of thought. When you're writing a book, you have to remember the entire tree of thought that the book is related to. It's like you have a trunk of thought, a topic, and from it you branch out with, you know, the various chapters. And I realized that if I want to be successful in writing, I can't be smoking in a period when I'm writing. And when I tried to stop, I had a hard time. And that was my big cue. I was like, wow, you know, I'm really dependent, you know. And I was like, no way, I have to write, you know. I can't not write. It's just not a possibility for me. And then I forced myself to stop, which, you know, there's various techniques, you know, some of them I can talk about, and the vast majority of them I teach in this online course. And I stopped, and when I stopped, I realized, because I was documenting everything and documenting what was going on in my head, I realized that I've regained some mental capabilities that I forgot I had. In other words, I didn't remember what super clarity felt like, because after 2-3 weeks of not smoking, suddenly I realized that I was super clear and I was able to remember things differently and make association. You know, I used to smoke a lot of strong sativas, and, you know, the impact was significant over time. And, you know, it comes back. I mean, once you stop, that's the beauty about cannabis. You know, 2-3 weeks, you're back to normal. I would say after a month, most of the people I know are completely back to normal. But, yeah, it just wasn't healthy. And so I had to document all these tools, because I realized that so many of my friends and people I knew were suffering from the same things. And I started, you know, people were just asking me, and I started teaching it. And from here to there, boom, an online course was created, you know.
That's really awesome. It sounds like a reset, you know, like just, like getting clear again, but resetting everything to just normalcy and clarity. It's nice to do fast and stuff for that reason, you know, just to get off all influences.
Exactly. And, you know, this is what I say. You know, the course I'm leading online, it's called, as I said, Consciously High, and the idea is, it's a 4-week course with a 1-week prep and then a 3-week cannabis tolerance break. And the idea is that when you walk out of the tolerance break after 3 weeks of not smoking, with the various videos that you're getting, you have a different set of tools to treat this tool, to treat this medicine that's called cannabis. And you're just not looking at it the same way. Before, it was just this thing that you were doing when you're, you know, after the course, you're walking away with deep understanding of what happens in your mind, the good and the bad, because everything has good and bad. For every good, there's a bad, and for every bad, there's a good. But you have this understanding of what is happening, and you're just a lot more conscious. That's why it's called Consciously High. You're just a lot more conscious, and when you're going back to using cannabis, you're using it as a tool. You're using it as from a place of power. I call it regain command on the substance. And you're not losing, you know, most substance abuse programs are all about you can never touch it again and you're addicted for life and blah blah blah, and this is not the way I approach this, what I say is we have that inner adult that knows deep down inside, we know what's right and what's not right. And I have a lot of friends who smoke cannabis very responsibly and smoke it every day, and they're okay. It's not impacting them like the way it impacted me. We're all different. And we have that inner adult that knows, and the idea is to find that inner adult so that you can later have it decide when's the right time, when's not the right time. Just like if you have a child and your child would tell you, well, I want more candy right now. You say, well, it's not time for candy. It's time for bed, you know. You can't brush your teeth with chocolate. No, sorry, you know. You just can't do that.
Right.
And kind of the same thing.
Yeah, that's excellent. And so tell everyone where they could find this this class. It sounds really awesome. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that would love to take it.
There is a website called Weed Out the Habit. Kind of a play on word, weedoutthehabit.com. I actually prepared a special code called AZ, Arizona Weeds Day, AZ Weeds Day, just for your listeners.
All right.
To take 30% off. You know, I priced it really moderately. I priced it at $149. I know a lot of people are struggling nowadays. So there's a $50 coupon if they put AZ Weeds Day. And I just want to name it out there. If somebody's truly struggling, there's scholarships available, because the idea is to allow people to be able to use it consciously and not, you know, this is not about the money. This is about, I mean, there's obviously effort and expenses involved, but this is about helping people. And it's important to me that whoever needs help will get it.
So then when you do you reintroduce people to microdosing, or how do you reintroduce them back to the plant?
There is a process during the third week of the course, so it's the second week of the break, the cannabis break, in which we go through a set of exercises to negotiate between the two parts of us. There's a part of us that just wants to smoke all the time, and there's a part of us that says, no, I don't want to smoke at all. And there's a negotiation that is happening, and there's a reestablishment of, you know, what's going to be our new habits when we step out of this. And I'm being really careful not to tell people what to do, because everybody's different, but I give a lot of examples of various I call it constitution or contract between me and myself, between, you know, the way people did it. And I worked with people who decided to go back to microdosing. I worked with people who decided not to smoke for a year. I worked with people who decided to smoke only on the weekends. And I worked with people who decided to create some people need a very specific contract with themselves. They need all the T's to be lined and all the I's to be dotted, because they know how powerful the mind is and how we can trick ourselves. So I work with someone, for example, who created such a detailed contract with himself, and it worked for him. And he basically said, I'm only going to smoke in these holidays, and I'm going to smoke, you know, so-and-so times. But then I'm going to have this vouchers, because sometimes you just want to smoke. Sometimes it's just you don't know when the opportunity will strike. So he created these vouchers for himself, and it worked for him. And for some people, this would sound so stupid.
That's
and for
awesome.
Some people, this would sound liberating, you know. And so I just introduced these various types of, you know, tricks. And I also introduced people to the concept of the inner word, you know, some kind of a phrase, you know, abracadabra, right? Or I vow to myself, or whatever phrase that is. When I say that phrase, I know I'm not going to break my word. And most people don't have that kind of phrase. You know, we say things like, I promise, or, oh, I'm just not going to do that, you know. But we don't have a reserved, some people, you know, if they say, I swear to God, you know, it's just such a common thing to say. But for some people, if they say that, well, you know, that's real. So in the first week, we develop some kind of a sentence, some kind of a language that is reserved to, if I say these words, then it's not going to be broken. And words have strength, and we build those this strength during the 4 weeks, so that when they walk out, they feel like they have some kind of a structure around the way they approach the topic of cannabis consumption. And yet, that's the beauty. They don't lose the tool, the medicine that they've grown to love so much, because in truth is, they don't want to lose it. And that's why a lot of people who smoke cannabis but feel like they're overusing it are not stopping, because for them it's either or, and it doesn't have to be.
Right. Amen to that. Yeah, it's hard for people to find a balance, especially with things outside themselves that they really, really enjoy. But it can be used as a really amazing tool. I like the picking a phrase or something that helps you stay on track. And I like the guy made vouchers for himself. That's awesome. Everybody's different. You know, everyone needs a different tool. You can't just say, here, this is what everybody needs to do, because everyone's so different. So that was really cool that he created that for himself.
Exactly.
What are your next steps? What are you looking to do in the future with cannabis in your research institute?
Well, I want... And I'm really hoping to do that in 2021. I was supposed to come to the U.S. in 2020, but then COVID hit, and I kind of got stuck here. I want to do a vast experiment. I want to do an experiment with 10,000 cannabis users, a huge experiment in which we're going to test the various changes that are happening in the mind while we smoke cannabis. And for that, I would need a lot of volunteers. We'll start with 1,000 and then slowly grow. My goal is to get, to 10,000. I just want to do this online massive experiment to prove the theory that I've developed during my research. And so for that, I would need people who have medical cannabis licenses so that they know what kind of strains they're getting. Because if you don't know what strain you're getting, if you're like me right now in Israel, you know, when you do use cannabis, you use something that, jeweler number one, you know, number three, whatever, created, then you don't really know what it is. But to choose people who do know what that is and develop some kind of a questionnaire and a set of tests and have people volunteer for that and show academia, because academia is so behind on testing psychedelics. It's not even funny what's happening in academia nowadays. So ever since the 60s, since Ram Dass and Timothy Leary were, thrown out of Harvard for using psychedelics, academia has been behind. And there's just not enough experiments out there that are dealing with the direct effects of the drug. And in order for, because academia is under federal law, it's very hard to get approvals for experiments. And so because my institute is privately owned and privately funded, and because now there's so many states who have legalized, especially medical cannabis, there is a possibility to do such an experiment, and even worldwide. And that's kind of what I'm planning for 2021. And, of course, finishing my next book. I'm writing a book about interesting stories from, fun, interesting stories from my time of research. You can only imagine that I have some interesting stories after researching, interviewing hundreds of people while they were smoking cannabis before and after. So I've accumulated my share of fun stories. And,
Well, tell us one or two of those. Let's get a sneak preview into your book. Give us a story.
Mm-hmm. All right, so there's this one time, and I hear Cannabis Kid there, nodding. He wants to hear it too, yeah. So there's this one time where a friend of mine came. So I was doing these cannabis parties in my house because, it was all very unofficial. I had to get people to come to my house and smoke very specific strains. And so people would come and ask me what to smoke, and I would you know, quickly asked him. And this particular friend was somebody I knew. So I knew his, I call it mental polarity prior to smoking. And I knew where he was. And he told me, hey, Eris, I wanna beat up Joe playing ping pong. I really want to beat him up. He wins every time. But he wins only by a little. Like, I just can never beat him. Why? And I had this big ping pong table in my house where people would play because I wanted to see how cannabis impacted various activities. You know, they would play music and
right. There
would be conversation. There was a microphone, all kind of things. And so I knew that this particular individual needed to have his you know, mind shifted in a very specific way. And so I told him, smoke this particular strain, but smoke only a little. And we have this, we call it scale of highness developed. And they all knew my scale of highness, you know, from 0 to 5. You know, I told them, you cannot get more high than 2.1, 2.2. If you get higher than 2.2 in the scale of highness, which he already knew what it was, then you're not going to win. But use this particular strain and see what happens. And so he used it, and I gave him a particular strain that strengthened his voluntary senses but lowered, made his involuntary senses a little less acute. Because what happens when you smoke, when you play ping pong, the involuntary senses, for example, like hearing somebody talking, and there were a lot of people in the room talking, or for example, somebody touched your shoulder or whatever, you know, your involuntary senses, every time an involuntary sense will kick in, it will trigger a thought of sort. And so by lowering the acuteness of his involuntary senses, I allowed him to be more present in his body. You can think of cannabis shifting the mental focus between the mind and the body. So I literally lowered just by a little bit, and because of my familiarity with the strain, and for the first time, he won a game with this particular individual.
God.
And then he won another one, and then he won another one. And he was like, I can't believe this has happened. I can't.
That's awesome.
I love that.
And then, of course, so the story ends. The other person, you know, the other friend, Joe, comes to me and says, well, give me something so I can win again.
So did you give him something to win again?
Well, in that particular case, it was an issue because he already smoked a lot that evening. So I had a little bit of a hard time to tell him what to smoke.
Yeah.
He was such a good ping pong player that, you know, I was like, you're on your own, my friend. You know, you're on your own. Besides, I didn't want to steal, you know, steal the other guy's thunder. You know, he was so happy.
Right.
Yeah.
He triumphed. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really good. Those are really interesting thoughts on how cannabis affects your voluntary and involuntary. And I'm thinking, like, you know, your motor skills, your fine and large motor skills and things like that. Like, that's super interesting. Is there a way to find strain maybe under the microscope that we can say, hey, it has this, and this, these parameters, and so it'll do this, and this for you?
You know, that's a great question. So first of all, I just want to name that this is why there's a controversy, for example, if you can drive while smoking cannabis or not. Some people will tell you, oh, my God, this is, you know, you can't drive while smoking cannabis, you're altered. And some people will say, hey, when I smoke cannabis, I'm a better driver. I'm a safer driver. And so how could that be? It doesn't make sense, right? And the same thing with anxiety. How can the same strain alleviate anxiety for one person and cause anxiety for another? And so that's the idea. The idea is that consciousness is really on a bipolar spectrum. And so depends on where you are on that spectrum to begin with, your consciousness will shift differently. And so even though that we can usually generalize on what a particular strain will do to someone, there's many cases, you know, it's obviously the minority of the cases, but there are cases where the impact is going to be the opposite. And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, we can generally assume what's going to happen and generally say that, you know, I'll give an example. For people who are super thinkers, their mind is just running all the time and they're like completely detached from reality, spacers, you know. For them to smoke,
mm-hmm.
most of these people, again, it's always most of these people, you know, it's never a definite 100%, just like everything in life. But most of these people, when they smoke sativa-based strains, their mind will race even more. And so driving under these conditions is not healthy because they're not really focused on the voluntary senses which are required for driving. And smoking indica-based
right.
Strains is going to help them a little bit because it's going to allow them to be a lot more calm. They're just not going to be out there, but rather focused on what's happening on the actual experience. But there's some people
right.
who are extremely present in the moment, and smoking indica, heavy indica-based strains are going to cause them to be really tired and fatigued and just like couch potatoes. And for people like that to smoke under the influence of the same strain that caused the other guy to be so present will cause them to not be safe behind the wheel. And for them, they like to smoke a sativa, maybe not a high sativa, because it helps them actually, it sharpens their mind, it helps them be a little bit more awake. And so it really depends on the person. And this is the difficulty with defining these things. And so I,
right.
you know, I present this to kind of raise the solution to this ongoing discussion amongst scientists that, hey, is cannabis good for this or bad for this? Is cannabis cause a psychosis or alleviate psychosis? Is cannabis this? Is cannabis
mm-hmm.
that? To say it does both because it's a bipolar spectrum and cannabis shifts the needle on this bipolar spectrum, so it depends where you were. But at the same time, I'll say to people, we all have this intuitive way of knowing, you know, smoke first at home. If you're testing this, know what you're smoking
yes.
and, you know,
yes.
be careful. Because I know a really quick story, somebody who smoked a heavy indica strain, and it caused him to literally forget, you know, to pull the handbrake when he left the car. He left the car to go outside for something, and the car was running, and he, you know, he forgot to shift it from drive to park and just literally stepped out of the car because he was so present on what he wanted to do, and the car started rolling. And so, you
yeah.
know, he quickly jumped back in and pulled the handbrake and shifted it. You know, he had to literally with his hand press the brake, and because, you know, he dived face in. But, you know, that's
oh,
horrible.
No.
That's horrible. So
that
don't
horrible.
Drive with a strain you do not know. Test it first and know yourself. And I know a lot of people who've been smoking since they were kids and drive all the time while smoking cannabis, and they're perfectly fine doing it. So I'm not encouraging anybody to do this. But I'll say everybody's different, and be responsible. Know what you're doing before you're doing it.
Amen. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show and for sharing all your wonderful and important information. And hopefully we can have you back on again. And hopefully we can be a part of your study when you come out here. We've got a nice list of patients that I'm sure would want to be involved as well. So keep in touch with us, and we'll definitely work with you in your experiments there. And tell everybody once again how they can get a hold of you out there, take your classes, and reach on Facebook and all social media.
So the easiest way is to remember weedoutthehabit.com. But for those not interested in the course, just scroll all the way down and click about, and from there you can access the website for the institute. It's called Criorg Institute, CRIORG.institute. That's the web address. You just type in http://criorg.institute and you get there. But again, the easiest way to get there from weedoutthehabit.com. And feel free to contact me with questions. And I really appreciate you guys interviewing me. I always love coming on your show. And I will definitely contact you again once this experiment is happening and the next time I'm in your neck of the woods or I'm in the Western U.S.
Well, it's been an honor, and we always love having you on and talking about our inner conscious cannabis selves. So thank you so much, and good luck. Good luck. Stay safe and happy and healthy, and we'll talk very soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. All right. There is everybody. Oh, my gosh, and look what time. It's that time. We busted all the way to 9 o'clock.
All
thank you, Aris Patop, coming on. I need to listen to the show again because those were some really cool shots. Thank you, the thoughts. See? Thank you, Tumbleweed Health Center, 4826 East Broadway Boulevard, and TumbleweedHealthCenter.com, and Studio C, Canvas Kid, the Tiva Sister. Happy birthday to and Reggae Ryan, he's going home new. He's going to be new. And educate. Woo! We say Wednesday. Smoke some weed. Have some fun. Be nice to each other. And vote! Vote no on 207. Do it. Paid for by stoners that care.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.